We hope our broadcasts bring you comfort as you hear the Word of God. And with our expanded website, you can find more resources that help encourage you. Today's message from Pastor Salem titled, The Value of the Soul, speaks to surrendering everything we have to Jesus. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we are so happy to be here today, and we want to thank you for opening your doors and letting us in. And we're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to be talking about the value of the soul. What is the soul anyway? Do you have one? You bet you do. Every living person has a soul. And so we're going to talk about that. But first of all, I want to share some letters. We get so many wonderful letters. And by the way, you get a pencil and paper and get it ready, because at the end of the service, I'll give the address. And you may want to send us a gift, or you may want to write for something, or even just tell us a little about yourself. And who knows, might even read your letter on the air. But either way, we'd love to hear from you. So we have a letter, first of all, from North St. Paul, Minnesota. And this person writes, I took Christ's forgiveness to my heart. I can now confess my sin to one and all, because in the past I didn't know God's love as I know it now. And so here it is, this wonderful love of God. God loves the sinner. He loves every one of us. But I want to tell you, there's the wrath of God too. And this love of God will last only to the grave. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ by the time you get to that grave, well, God says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So if you want the love of God, you got to take it in this world, in this life. Now, here's a letter just thrills my soul. And it's from Dublin, California. And this man writes, Praise the Lord. I want to donate this for the ministry. I watch you on television. I am happy to be a born-again Christian. I am a silver medalist at the 1984 Olympic Games in weightlifting in Los Angeles. Pray for me. Thank you, Mario Martinez. And here he is. He set some records. It says that he was the first American to both snatch over 400 pounds and clean and jerk over 500 pounds in a meet. Can you imagine that? I can hardly lift my breath. And here he is, because he can lift all this weight. But I'm going to tell this Mario something. When we get to heaven, I'll be just as strong as he is. And won't that be something? But here it is, an international known figure. And he's a follower of Jesus Christ, and he openly confesses it. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Mario. Here's Cogswell, North Dakota. I've asked God to come into my heart. Please send me information on being saved, and can we ever lose being saved? Can we be saved and lost? No. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will never, ever be lost. Jesus tells us, and he says in John 10, verses 28 and 29, he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You want it any plainer than that? And then he says, I hold them in my hand. And then he said, God holds my hand. And so you couldn't be safer if you wanted to. Now we have a little booklet. And it's called Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And the answer is no. And there's about 12 or 13 pages. And it's all scripture. And you get your pencil and paper and you just write salvation, a book on salvation. If you can send a gift for it, all right. If you don't have anything, that's just fine. You're right, and we'll send it free and postpaid, like people in prison, some of you on Social Security, and so on. It's a glorious gospel. You cannot lose your salvation. One more I want to share. Sioux City, Iowa. Thank you so much for your program and a new song. And by the way, the new song is a little paper, a little Bible study we put out every month. New song. It's free and postpaid. And so you've been marked that down, too, if you want that. We'd be glad to send it to you. We ought to charge for it, but we're so good-hearted, we'll send it free. And he writes, thank you for your program, a new song. It is so informative, I follow along with my Bible. Thank you for explaining the verses. And listen to this. I accepted God through your program some years ago. God bless you. I want to tell you something, friends. If you pray for the Christian Worship Hour, and if you give to the Christian Worship Hour, and if you tell others about the Christian Worship Hour, you're going to be a part owner in the dividends for these people that come to Jesus Christ. Part of the glory, part of the joy and the happiness and the thrill and heaven is going to be yours, because you can't do it without us, and we can't do it without you, but together we can get it done. And that's what we're doing today. So get your pencil and paper. I'll give it to you in a minute. But let's look about the matter of the value of the soul. From the dark recesses of the cave of Adullam, there's a man named David, and they were trying to find him to destroy him. And he said this, "No man," he says, "I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would help me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." He says, my soul. What did he mean when he said my soul? Well, he means simply that it is the real person. The soul is the real person. The soul is the part of a person that has the feeling and has the emotion and has the memory. The Bible teaches us that it is a person's moral, spiritual, never-ending part. And so that's why it is so important, because it is really the person itself. Jesus answered that question. He said, what is the soul? And in Mark, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Matthew, Jesus said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Luke, he puts it this way, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself? That's the soul, himself. It is thyself. It is my person. And that wonderful soul, it is a real person, is the part of us that loves and that hopes and that prays and that believes and aspires, is tempted, is sinned, confesses that sin, repents, and can be eternally saved. That's what the soul is. It is me at my core. Every way you look at the soul, it's the most important part of the person. It's the one great supreme part of the individual. Never forget it. The most important part of our body, of our person, is our soul. You see that, for instance, by the process of subtraction. That is, take a man's soul from him, subtract his soul from him, and then you add the whole world in the place of the soul, and what do you have? Nothing. Zero. Just a cold clod of clay. We call it a corpse. But with the soul, you have a piece of work that is the work of art. You have a person with reason and ability. You have a person in a creation made in the image of God. But alas, subtract the soul. The masterpiece is gone and the beauty is vanished, and you have nothing but dust, the dust of the ground. And sure enough, out of the earth, the body was taken, and back to the earth, the body will go. But not the soul. Without the soul, we have nothing more than an animal. We are nothing more than a reed or a weed or a seed. If we're cremated, nothing is left but a few dust to be thrown to the wind. That's all the body is. You see the greatness of the soul by the simple subtraction that all we have and are and ever will be is our spirit, is our soul. You see the greatness of the soul by the purpose of life. We say, why are we here? Why was I born? Why do I exist? What is life all about anyway? And we look about us and we see how meaningless it is. This wind comes up and the wind goes down. The morning comes and the days goes by. There's commotion, there's hustle, there's bustle, there's running in endless circles. And like the writer of Ecclesiastes says, it's vanity. It's just nothing to it. It's just a puff of air. That's all that it is. Life, what is life is all about? Well, what is the purpose of life? Is it to make money and get wealth and then die and leave it? Is it to have the good times, the parties and the pleasures? Is that life? Is vainglory? What is life all about? But on the other hand, when you think about this spirit and this wonderful soul. And Billy Graham says that it is just a preparation for eternity. It's a rehearsal for eternity. It all abounds on that soul and not that body, because we're made up of three parts: a body, a spirit, and a soul. And the spirit and the soul live in the house, in that body, and it's a tent, and it's going to collapse, and it's going to be gone when you die. And so we see the greatness of the soul in its endurance and its keeping all the time. Someone has written it this way: 1,000 empires rise, 1,000 empires fall, but still the eternal stars shine over them all. At length the stars themselves into the night are thrust, and guns and systems pale go down in the dust. But let the universe itself back into darkness roll, two lights that death cannot quench, God and the soul. The soul is everlasting, and it's going to go on forever and ever in heaven or in hell. Now, some people teach, oh, there is no hell. Some of the cults say there's no hell, that you just die to death. It's just the end, annihilation of death. But Jesus told us something. He says in Matthew 10, verse 28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, God is telling us, Jesus is telling us, the most important part of your being is your soul, your eternal soul, not your body, your soul. The highest test of the value of an object is, what does it cost? What do you pay for it? That will show what the value of it is. For instance, you have a toothpick. How valuable is that? What did you pay for it? That toothpick. But you have a beautiful diamond ring. How valuable is that? Well, what did you pay for it? So what did you pay for your soul? It cost God his only begotten son. That's how much it cost, and that's how valuable it is. He gave his son. It cost the son of God his precious blood. It was such a terrible price that when it was paid, the sun hid its face. The earth convulsed. Men trembled and women wept. God turned his face from his son. The world was plunged in darkness. That's the value of the soul when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the old rugged cross to pay for our sins and pay for our soul and to purchase our soul. The whole world shuddered and changed in darkness. The soul is the person. The body is not the person. And when the soul departs from the body, there is no value to the body. It is a corpse. And it goes back to the dust from the dust from whence it came. What's the value of the soul? It is priceless. It carries no price tag. And so the soul, something about it, it is in jeopardy. It is in danger. Originally, the soul was perfect. Seen in Adam and Eve, perfect fellowship with God, but in the Garden of Eden. But Adam sinned. We call it a fall. The fall of man is what we call the depravity of man. And that's why people are wicked today, and they're born with that fallen nature. As it was told in the scripture, as in Adam, all fell. That's the human race. And you're born with that nature. And that's why little tiny children fight over toys. They're selfish and they want them. That's that old nature and that old fallen nature. And that's why we fight over the toys and the things and struggle in life. We want to serve ourselves and live for ourselves. So the soul, this wonderful soul, is hurt and it's harmed and it's lost. And only the children belong to God, because when Jesus was here, he took the little children, they said, to bless them, not baptize them. John says Jesus never baptized anybody. He blessed the little children, and then he says, for of such is the kingdom of God. He says, as Christ died, he paid for all the sins of the little children. They're already part of his kingdom. But when we come to the age of accountability, when we can make a decision, then it depends. Well, I choose heaven or I choose hell. I choose Jesus. I choose the devil. You say, well, I'm in neutral. I don't take either way. There is no neutral place. Jesus taught us, he says, he that is not with me is against me. If you're not with Jesus, you're with the devil. That's all there is to it. And that's why we preach our heads off. so that you'll come to your senses and come to Jesus. And so God, Jesus tells us, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. His soul is restored. It was lost in sin when Adam fell. But in Jesus Christ, when we come to Jesus, he that believeth has his Son, his soul is restored. But Jesus goes on. This is John 3, verse 30, chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. His soul is saved, is restored. Or he that believeth not the Son, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's hell. And if you want to know about it, read about it. Revelation 20, verse 15. Whosoever was not found and written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So that precious soul that God has given us, that soul that will never cease being, that soul will have feeling and memory and thoughts as forever and ever and ever. It is in danger of being lost. And so I want to close today by asking a question. Where is your soul today? Are you safe in Jesus? Have you taken the Lord? What is the condition? Are you saved or you're lost? Are you saved or are you lost or are you restored? There's only one of the two. There can't be anything else. Your soul now is the most precious thing you have, and you're the one that decides where it goes. Your wife doesn't do it. Your husband doesn't do it. The children don't do it. The parents don't do it. The pastor doesn't do it. You do it yourself. He that hath the Son hath life. Choose you today who you will serve. You will say, I want Jesus into my life and my soul is safe. You say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. We see it all the time. I don't want anything to Jesus. I'll take my chances and your soul will be in hell just sure as the world. Oh my God. Can't you see? We pray the Holy Spirit. Just tell him. And Jesus says here, he asks this question. He says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? He doesn't say, he's saying, what will you give? That is, you'll sell your soul for anything. But what Jesus is saying is, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Once you've lost your soul, how do you get it back? How do you get it back? Once the devil has his hands on it, and if you don't have Jesus, he has his hands on it, you're in his camp. You're called the kingdom of darkness. Jesus is saying, he's telling us, now which camp are you going to be in? And and the person is saying, oh, I lost my soul. How can I get it back? If I had the whole world, it wouldn't be enough to get it back. It couldn't ever pay to get it back. And so Jesus goes to the cross. And on the old rugged cross there, he dies on that cross. And he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will pay for your body. I will pray for your soul. And you can get your soul back. You can have it back. Because when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will take away your sin. And there are so many people who realize that their soul is in danger. And because the Holy Spirit talks to them and speaks to them. And so they say, oh, I want to get my soul back. And so what do I do? Oh, I'll join the church and I'll do good works and I'll give to the poor and I'll give to the Lord and I'll quit kicking the dog and I'll be sorry for my sins and I'll cry for my sins and I'll do a lot, all these things to get my soul back. And Jesus tells us, God tells us as plain as day in the Old Testament, he says through Isaiah, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. All of our works are nothing. He tells us again in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we got to heaven by our good works, wouldn't heaven be a mess? I got here by doing this, and I did that, and I. And when you get to heaven, you say, Jesus did it all. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And like in Isaiah, God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And what Jesus is saying, I'll go to the cross and I'll pay for their sins, and you can have your soul back because I'll pay the price. But it won't mean a thing unless you personally ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, unless you pray that whosoever will call in the name of the Lord, as many as received him. You have to receive Jesus. That's what Jesus said. You said, how do you receive him? How do you receive anybody? You open the door. You say, God, come into my heart and my life and wash away my sins. Use your own words. Don't get fancy in the thee and the thous. Just, dear Jesus, children do it. I did it when I was 10 years old. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and make me clean. Wash away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so God says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. We're also told in Acts that he purchased us with his own blood. That is, he paid for that lost soul. Come to Jesus. You need Jesus. A.C. Blackburn was a godly minister. Godly pastor. He used to tell a story of a seven-year-old girl in his congregation. She was really discerned but concerned about her father. And he talked to her, and she couldn't get her daddy to come to hear the preaching of the gospel. And so he called on her one day, and she was very, very ill, and she told him that she was very ill and that the doctor said she'd soon go to heaven. And the pastor tried to comfort her, and he says, oh, no, maybe you'll get well again. And she says, I hope not. And he said, you hope not? Why would you say that? And the little girl, this is what the little girl said. Because ever since I became a Christian, I've been trying to bring my father to hear you preach, and he won't come. But if I die, you'll have the funeral service, won't you? And he said, yes, oh, of course. And he says, well, I know Daddy will want to come to church that day, and you'll be able to tell him about Jesus. And then the little girl said, I'd be willing to die six times over if he could just hear the gospel once. Well, the little girl did die, and Dr. Blackburn was unable to serve that day because of illness. But sometime later, about a month later, there's a man knocked on the door. He was a tough-looking fellow, and he called at the pastor's home, and he says to the pastor, I heard that she said she would be willing to die for me six times over if I would only hear the gospel once. It nearly broke my heart, and I've come today. I want to learn the way of salvation. And the pastor says, whosoever call a name, just pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And that's exactly what he did. And that little girl had such a burden. He came to know Jesus as his Savior, and he had his sins washed away. He had his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and now it's already passed, and he's in heaven with his little girl, and it's all because he took Jesus. You got to have Jesus. And I'm praying that you've prayed that, and if you pray that, then you write to us, and we'll send you some scripture. We'll send you and encourage you in the word of the Lord. The first thing you do is accept Jesus Christ, and then you learn about him and you read your Bible. So you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to get us, you can get us. You can send a gift over ChristianWorshipHour.com. But we need your prayers and we need your help. And so if you think this is something of the Lord, just ask him what he wants you to do, and he'll help you. If you want the new song, that's our monthly Bible study, then you just say new song. If you want the little book that on salvation, can we lose our salvation? Answer is no. Just put a book on salvation, and we'll be sending it free and postpaid. But you need to pray because, you know, like James says, you have not because you ask not. So we have to tell you, yes, we have a need. We're not underwritten by any denomination or corporation or anything like that. It's just God's people giving. And if you want to know if your money's spent wisely and well, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books on everything we get and how we handle the money and everything we pay out. And they watch us like a hawk, and we're glad they do. We have nothing to hide. We're transparent as we can be. And it's all because we want to serve Christ. But we need your help. The Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All of you on shortwave would love to hear from you. And then you pay, and if you give, and as you give, the gospel will go out and people will come to Jesus, and that eternal precious soul will be saved forever. So now we're going to pray for you. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for all of those who made the prayer of the penitent, those who prayed all over the world, and I just can imagine there are thousands upon thousands that are praying to receive you into their life. And there's rejoicing at the throne of God over every soul that repents. And then, dear Lord, we're going to want to pray for those who are being persecuted. Pray for those in the Congo, Lord, a persecuted church in Congo, and help them to know that we're praying for them and that they encourage us and we encourage them and help them to stand true. And to those on beds of sickness and those who are shut in and young people that are caught up in some habit, Lord, or don't know which decision to make in life, you have told us that if we look to you, you'll give us guidance and help and direct us our way. Oh, we just thank you for the wonderful gospel and that you're open to all who believe. So we pray for everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, now we're going to give you the address. We need to hear from you, need your letters. And now next week we're going to preach about angels. What do you know about angels? And we're going to preach about angels, God's secret agents. And there's a lot in the Bible about angels and how they watch over the people of God and how they help us. And there are angels that are watching over you and you don't even know it or see it, but they are there. And God is there, and he uses these messengers to come. Oh, it's going to bless your heart. Tell your friends. And we have people write to us and say, I've told different people about the Christian Worship Hour, and so they're listening too, and we're all worshiping you together. And that's what we do. We get people all over the world to gather around the throne of grace and get our eyes on Jesus, beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus because you don't know him, because if you come to know Jesus, you'll love him. So you pray for us and we'll pray for you. And then we'll just be praying that you'll have a good week, that you'll know the presence of God, that you'll know that just take his promises and know he is with me. He said he'd never leave me or forsake me. I'm leaning on him. I'm rejoicing in him. Thank you. And just trust Jesus. And God bless you. See you next week, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.